Seated at a secluded corner of a coffee shop known for its calm environment and ambience, I spot Animu Athiei walking in. She struggles to open the door to the restaurant. She looks frail and visibly unwell, but manages a smile as she walks towards me. The dress she is wearing seems to hang loosely around her small frame. After exchanging pleasantries, she sits down and orders a pot of herbal spiced tea. I ask how she was doing. She tells me that she has been unwell for a while, but cannot travel out of South Sudan for treatment because her nationality documents were confiscated and are still under investigation.
Being in this type of situation doesn't allow me to travel, so I can't travel without travel documents. So even when I was granted the bail, I was granted bail on 17th of February. I stayed in hospital another extra month because I was still not well. And still now my condition is just sort of pain management. But the remedy that was required to be done has not been done. The doctors had recommended surgery. Now, you know, surgery is a different situation. It requires money, right? And I have been in prison, so there's no way to sort of mobilize this type of money to be able to do the surgery, the aftercare and stuff like that. No one wants to take responsibility.
Animu is one of many suffering consequences of being stateless as a result of not having official identity documents. The 1954 Convention relating to the status of stateless persons defines a stateless person as someone who is not considered a national by any state under the operation of its law. Continuous conflict, natural disasters, and ambiguities in South Sudan's 2011 Nationality Act and associated nationality regulations, including the use of terms such as indigenous, contribute to an increased risk of statelessness in the country. For stateless persons, the lack of nationality often prevents them from accessing the most basic rights. Stateless persons may be unable to attend school, see a doctor, be employed, or get married or live normal lives.
It's painful for me, you know, because it means that every single step of my life or progress, I have to keep justifying my existence. No matter what my contributions are, no matter what my capabilities are. So if it's not, you cannot speak Arabic very well, you don't look like a South Sudanese, or like, why do you have people sort of saying that you're not from South Sudan? Why this from some community members? No one has to go through this. It doesn't matter what they've done. Nobody, you know, deserves to go through this type of experience. It's just unfair.
Animu's story made headlines last year after she was arrested for allegedly using fraudulent South Sudanese identity documents. But Animu says this is not the first time her citizenship was questioned. She says suspicions about her origins began when she registered to vote in a referendum to decide on whether South Sudan region should remain a part of Sudan or become independent. Back then, people questioned her nationality due to her physical features, accent, and behavior. Questions around her identity would continue for years after South Sudan gained her independence from Sudan. Animu says processing her national identity documents was a struggle. She had to provide proof of her South Sudanese origins and go through a process of intense investigation and verification by government authorities before they finally issued her South Sudanese national certificate and passport. The process took about 2 years to complete.
When we went to the immigration, they were not satisfied with the witnesses, especially the ones, the recommendations from the Boma and the Payam. So they requested those people to come physically to Juba. And then, you know, my father is not alive, so I had my uncle there, and they were like not recognizing he was my uncle. Actually, they even went to suggest that I had paid him You know, they say how much is she paying you? Like I didn't they come group to come and witness, you understand? Which was offensive actually, not a bit offensive. So obviously when they asked for these people to come physically, so we went, we brought them, they came to Juba and they testified. They did the process. This is whole of, you know, sort of 2013. After they came physically, now they started the formal process of investigation. After they investigate, they did the verification, and after they find, you know, they sort of forwarded it to be approved.
So how did it make you feel finally having documents that you could show and say,
it was a
I
relief.
Am South Sudanese?
It was a big relief, you know, and I was so desperate to, like, use my South Sudanese passport. I remember my friend was getting married. In India, he was an Indian. I was like, I'm going to India because I need to travel with this passport everywhere that I can.
After obtaining her South Sudanese national documents, Animu says her life normalized. She continued to work as a human rights activist and political advisor for different high-profile individuals and organizations. Her travels to represent South Sudan at high-level international events brought her under the spotlight. At the height of success in her career, an article titled "Is Animu a Real South Sudanese or a Ugandan Spy?" surfaced on a popular South Sudanese gossip tabloid, Hot in Juba. The 2015 article alleged that Animu was a Ugandan spy using the South Sudanese identity to access opportunities.
I remember that day so vividly because it was the day after my battle, right? So everyone was calling me because it was on Facebook. I just remember being in the office and, you know, I was at the Japanese embassy at that time and panicking and not sure because everyone was like, oh, is Animu here a real South Sudanese or, you know, a Ugandan spy? You know, I was reading things about myself that I could not believe. But obviously there were other things which were outrageous, you know. They said I had hacked into the JICA system.
Shortly after the article was released, Animu resigned and kept a low profile. A similar article resurfaced in 2018 when she was appointed press secretary for the first vice president at the time, Taban Dengai. This article got the attention of the Ministry of Interior. She was then summoned to provide her identity documents for verification. An investigation was done and she was cleared and given back her documents. Later in 2020, she was nominated as a young member of parliament under the other political parties. Shortly after her nomination, questions of her identity resurfaced. This time, it did not take long before it became an issue of national security. On 22nd December 2021, while coming out of a popular upmarket coffee shop in Juba, Animu was arrested by security personnel on suspicion of illegally obtaining South Sudanese nationality documents. She was detained for 4 days at the Immigration Detention Center in Juba before orders for her deportation to Uganda were issued by authorities. However, immigration authorities in Uganda refused to take her.
They took me at night, police car, 12 armed police officers, a taxi as well. If anything had happened, for example, on Nimule Road at night, if we had gotten an accident, or someone had gotten an idea to kill me in the middle of the night, no one would have known where I was, you know? And it scared me a lot. You know, I just remember really like saying, you know, I'm Muslim, so in Islam we have something called Shahada, right? So you do you confess the faith, you know? It's like people do it sometimes before they die, you know, so that you die halal. And I remember doing that, you know, on the way. I was sure that I was a dead person, you know. I was surprised we went to Nimule at night, but I was sure I was a dead person. But obviously when we went to Uganda, Interpol ran a scan through my papers. They found that there was no justification, that I was a South Sudanese, and there was no justification to deport me out of my own country.
Animu was immediately returned to Juba and kept in prison for about 2 months until she was released on bail for medical reasons. Since her release in February this year, she has been waiting for her day in court. Until that day comes, Animu Athie remains in a state of limbo, unable to access medical treatment and or work anywhere, held hostage in a country which has practically disowned her. While a lack of identity documentation does not always equate to statelessness, the impacts of it for a people in South Sudan like Animu are often synonymous. Because of this, several of her basic human rights guaranteed in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, a milestone United Nations document which sets out fundamental human rights to be universally protected around the world, including South Sudan, have been violated. Those rights include, but are not limited to, Article 3, 6, 8, 10, 13 and 15, which state that everyone has a right to a nationality and no one should be deprived of their nationality nor denied the right to change their nationality. Everyone has a right to life, liberty and security of a person, a right to live and to live in freedom and safety, a right to be recognized before the law, a right to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal, and finally, everyone has the right to freedom of movement to leave and return to his or her own country.
When I think about 2010 and what we did to sort of make sure that this country happened, was immense. And we were willing to do that without compensation, without recognition, you understand, because it meant that South Sudan must start in the right way. And it's just funny, because when I was voting, I was a South Sudanese, and now that it has come to sharing the national cake, you know, I'm a foreigner, or I'm not South Sudanese enough. You know, and it shouldn't matter, especially in new states. It shouldn't matter if I'm 2%, or 0.8%, you understand? Like, the law provides that we should have equality in nationality rights.
For Radio Miraya, I'm Lucy Kiden.